quit, but I want the advocate to get cracking, and then I'm going to go back and incorporate both clarifications from the DTI on the policy aspects that emerge, as well as the legal issues. Let's try and work that way. And really, I don't mind if someone wants to just stand up and get their heads out of a window down the, of course, not your body, but just your head. Okay. because, yes, it is oppressive, the heat in here, and I'm sorry. Over to you, Advocate.
Thank you, Chair. And thank you, members. On DTI's presentation, they've already shown you the clause, but I want to just stop here for a moment and just remind members that, yes, we only received two submissions. Both of those submissions did not deal with the offence as such. So to me, it indicates that the general public is satisfied with this clause. What is maybe of a concern is that they are saying, who will this apply to? That is more what their worry is.
What
so
is their worry
is more to whom will this offence apply? So in other words, who can commit the offence? And they are saying that is what is not clear enough in the bill. So what I'm trying to say is that our clause, as advertised, seem to, in fact, one of the two submitters, so 50% of our submissions, actually say that this clause is a good thing. This is required. So the fact that no one else submitted, I don't think we should see it as a negative thing, especially if we look at the submissions that we received. The biggest concern, like I say, is who will be the party affected? In other words, what is a collecting society? And the concern is that currently, because the IP Laws Amendment Bill, Amendment Act, is not yet operational, our existing definition of collecting society simply reads, means a collecting society established by this Act, which really honestly says nothing. So the IP Laws Amendment Act defines it a bit better. It says it means a society, so already you have society, this is not an individual, it's a society created by this Act or by agreement and which, amongst others, manages matters related to rights and copyright works, negotiates for and collects royalties and benefits on behalf of its members. So also, it has members. No, it's not just I'm an agent, I'm representing one person, two people. It's members in a society and distributes royalties and benefits to copyright owners. So I think that the definition in the IP Laws Amendment Act already addresses a number of the concerns. Of course, the problem is that it's not yet operational. What I would recommend is that we need to insert collecting society's definition in our transitional provision and simply say, until the IP Laws Amendment Act is operational, collecting society will mean the following. Now, if we look at other comments that were made, there is another option before the committee, but that option has some consequences. Other concerns were that rights granted to members, increasingly these members are exercising them directly. Like I said, it's a society for its members. I don't see any individual being affected by this offence. There was a proposed definition, and if we read through it, it's more or less like the IP Laws Amendment Act's definition is. The one big difference is that it adds the requirement it is organized on a not-for-profit basis. Now, our bill, or when we talk about collecting societies, when the department speaks about them, when CIPC speaks about them, so far it seems that all of them are not-for-profit organizations, but there's no legal requirement that be the case. Now, this is now where the other option comes in. We can amend the definition that the IP Laws Amendment Act puts there. How will we do it? By adding it to our Clause 1. We will simply amend the definition of collecting society. We'll add not-for-profit. The concern that I have is that this has not been discussed anywhere with the public. It comes from a public submission, but remember that the submission was on the offence. So the submission is proposing a definition, and it's not about the offence. And I would be of the view that if we do that, we will have to advertise again, which of course then delays the process. Now, actually yesterday when we were looking through the technical panel comments, the department and I actually discussed this and tried to see what can be done. And if we go with the transitional provision option, what would happen is that this will have to be managed in practice. So for instance, in how I would see it is, if a company that is for profit approaches the CIPC to be accredited, CIPC could ask the question, well, let's look at what is a collecting society. You must manage matters related to the rights and copyright works. I do not understand where the profit making is in that. You are managing things for other people. If you're negotiating, you're collecting royalties, where is the profit making in that? Yeah. You are distributing royalties and benefits, where is the profit making in that? So my argument is that in practice, CIPC could ask these questions. Whether that would suffice, that I cannot say. So what I'm trying to say is the transitional provision is the easiest way out, but it will have to be managed in practice. And I might have to bring a bill again very soon to address this issue and amend that. The other option to add the not-for-profit means that we will have to advertise. It can be done, but it means that we will have to advertise. Another question that came up was, in fact, I thought it was quite nicely stated. If other rights holders can exercise these rights without accreditation, why is it required for collecting societies to the point of criminalization? And I think the DTI actually answered that quite well. It is necessary for transparency. There has been problems, and unfortunately this is now where we're at. We need accreditation, and if you are not accredited, the converse of this is, and remember that is why the offense was actually added, because the converse was, well, so if someone doesn't, if a person doesn't become accredited and they just operate, what can we do about that? Nothing. So there is no other option. So if the policy is that they must be accredited because there has been problems, we require transparency, then you need an offense. That is just the steps. Then they were asking about members of collecting societies can license works directly. Again, if we look at the definition of IP Laws Amendment, it's a society that does it for its members. There's nothing about individuals in there, so an individual will not be affected. The other aspect was the issue of the foreign collecting societies, and here I know there was also a question on that. Now, if we look at the definition again, I'll go back there, on slide 3. This is quite a broad definition, and to me it means that any society, because remember our bill, once operational, will operate in the whole of South Africa.
Yeah.
So any person who operates in South Africa, whether that be digitally or whether that be physically, because let's face it, let me put it in a different way. What happens if a collecting society claims a royalty from a person, from a user, and that user refuses to pay? Where will you sue that person? If that user is in South Africa, you'll sue him in South Africa. So you are operational in South Africa. It's as simple as that. So I think that a number of foreign societies will have to be accredited if they operate in South Africa. So it is probably something that can be made a lot more clear in the definition. But again, we'll have to advertise. And I do think that at this point in time, the argument is going to be, oh, but this is digitally, so where am I situated, and so on and so on. But then we will turn to the Electronic Communications Act, to the Electronic Transactions Act, and that will guide us as to whether the transaction is in South Africa or in a foreign jurisdiction. Because in any event, if the transaction is in a foreign jurisdiction, our bill will not apply anyway. So I think that for now, it can be better. It can be better. But I think it will suffice. So what I would recommend is that we bring it in as a transitional provision so that we have a better operating definition for collecting society. And I think that that definition will address most of the issues. DTI can review and bring something that is better worded, more clarity given, addressing all of these issues. But for now, this will suffice. The last was from SAMRO, the last submission. And it was SAMRO who was saying they are welcoming this criminal's sanction because it will be a deterrent to individuals who have been for many years acted to the detriment of composers. So they asked the same issue, that not all individuals who collect and administer royalties are representing themselves as collecting societies. And I'm saying again, the same thing will happen. Once we have the definition operational, we'll have to look at the definition. And if you, if you as a person, maybe you're representing one or two people, you don't even call them members, you're clearly, I'm an agent for this person, I'm acting on power of attorney, that's a total different situation. But if someone starts collecting for a number of people, then they should be accredited, because the same principles apply. We don't want them to use a loophole by saying, I'm an agent. You know? So the one or two odd people, I think the example by Mr. Kachalia, I was so good at getting my money from this person that my fellow performer asks me, well, I'm not a society, and this is not a member. I'm just acting as a quick agent. I'm helping this person on one basis. That will not fall foul of the offence clause. That person will be safe. But if I then start saying, I'm advertising, and I'm saying, well, look at me, how good I am. You know, I got for this person, I got for that person. Well, then I'll have to be accredited, because now I'm starting to act as representing more people. Jen, that is all the comments I have. Thank you.
It's a good idea we had them, as it were, close together. And I did see the Honourable Williams hand up. I saw the Honourable Kachalia, the Honourable Buyani. You're right on top of it, huh? Well done. Fine. And do go ahead, Honourable Williams.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I just want to talk on this defining what a collecting society is. I just want to refer as well to the bill we recently passed, the Credit Amendment Bill, where we said if you make money by lending money, then you're committing a criminal offence. Now, surely we could somehow define the collecting agencies to prevent the what Honourable Kachalia talked about, like a favour for your friend type of thing. Couldn't we say if you make money, if you derive income from collecting royalties, then you and you're not registered, then you're committing an offence. Thank you, Chairperson.
Yes, that puts another spin on it then, huh? Right, Honourable Kachalia, please.
Thank you, Chair. To this same point, I mean, I don't want to flog a dead horse, but I'm trying to get my head around it. If, as I say, somebody, say Hugh Masekela, says, I'm doing it myself, I'm collecting my money, and Induduzo Makatini says, Brahu, you're doing a very good job, do it for me, and then Hugh says, actually, I can make some money out of this, I'll provide a service and I'll do this, and he does this, then he has to become accredited. Yes. So he becomes accredited. Then how does that fit in with one collection society? Because there's one existing already. Now how do you deal with Brahu's right to represent himself and to make money out of it, which is his right?
No, thank you, Honourable Kachalia. Honourable Buyani, did I see any more hands? Right, Honourable Tiako after.
Yeah, no, Chair, thanks. I think, we must start clarifying the concept, non-profit organization. If you can clarify that one, I think we'll be fine. Because here, we're starting like non-profit organization, and at the end, we are talking 50-50 shares with the performers or whatsoever, or whosoever. That means the 50% you're getting to you, it's a profit as an NPO. I'm not so sure because it confuses me. So you're getting a 50% as an NPO, non-profit organization. You took a 50% from someone who performed somewhere. That means somewhere, somehow, that thing's not going all right. Also, the accreditation vis-a-vis the regulation. Our understanding is that if you get accredited, then you will be regulated in the process. Because you accredited and you get accreditation and you must be regulated by the accredited, the CICP, CIPC. So that everything that you do, you collect, you are able to go through in terms of the law in South Africa. And also the clarity I've requested earlier on, the CMO, the CMO and also the CS, the Collecting Society. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Buyani. Honourable Tioko, followed by the Honourable Whip, Honourable Khadebe.
Thanks, Chair. I think I need the advocate. You said the provisional transition on the advertised, on the definition, the issue of definition, how we define collecting society, and it's either we put it on the IPLAA, which is not operational, one. And if it's not operational, what if it doesn't become operational? Meaning, what is the meaning of that definition thereof? Is it going to be a valid definition, or is it going to be a definition pending the operational transition? Then if we define it and we advertise on the issue of advertisement, for how long is going to take us? For us, if we say advertise now, then it's going to be 2 weeks, and how delay, the delay part of it on the current bill that we're busy with now.
Thank you.
Honourable Tioko, Honourable Khadebe, followed by the Honourable Mantash.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think that the issue of inserting the non-profit organization part is very important, because the principle of a collecting society just collects the royalties for the people concerned or for the members concerned, but it does not entitle you to go and invest that money anywhere, because we know that they have speculated with the people's money when they didn't have that. What I suggest, Chairperson, is that if we need to advertise, let us advertise as of yesterday. It means that let's get this advert out. I think that if it is 2 weeks, it will be within our time when we deal with this thing. We have to do it, Chair.
Advert out, please, Honourable Khadebe.
The issue of the definition to include non-profit organisation. I think that aspect is very important, so that it is explicit. So that it is explicit, because we know very well that United Arab Emirates has gained a lot from South Africa at the expense of our people. So I think that part must be there, because we are protecting these people here. Let us advertise as quickly as possible. If necessary, by Friday, let it be out, so that we know that within the next 2 weeks we'll be dealing with this thing here. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Khadebe. Honourable Manta.
Chair, I think we all have some misunderstandings with this collecting society thing. When we look at what Samro says, that statement, not all individuals or entities who collect and administer royalties on behalf of copyright holders are representing themselves as collecting society. Kanti kahle kahle, what is this collecting society? They're confusing us now. The Samro says so. We initially understood when we said we proposed that there should be one collecting society per set of rights, and that for me was sufficing. The rest of the other definitions now I can't understand. I need someone to school me on them. Thank you, Chair.
No, thank you very much, Honourable Mantash.
My text, this chairperson will be that, as we allow everybody else to do it, then that's where these royalties are going to get lost and we can't trace them. So we'll be going to square one and not assisting those communities that we wanted to assist. Thank you.
Seem as if the clarity we thought has created more confusion. Now this is quite a serious issue. The reason I'm saying that, we've already gone to advertisement on certain issues. Now we go out again. And of course, in the interest of ensuring we've done justice to a piece of legislation before us, we can't cut corners, you know. I think we all accept that. My one concern is how many more times are we going to go out on this legislation? Because already when I look at this, just the few areas that you've referred to here, is that, you know, on page or slide 3, I have no problem, you know, with the way it just explains it's currently defined as. I think fine, right. Proposed definition as a result of having advertised it, I assume. Now here's a proposal, given what we have received. Now we start saying, no, hang on, this is what it means. But now what's come up is something about collecting society being a non-profit on the one hand, also an organization which is authorized by law, that we all understand. Then it comes to, or by way of assignment, license or any other contractual arrangement, which would then seem to capture some of the points you made, Honorable Kacharia, talking about a contractual arrangement here. But I think most of us here, but I may be misunderstanding members' concerns, if we could get this clearly explained to us, because already the whip has indicated, look, we may need to advertise this because it wasn't there originally. The Honorable Tierko, who chaired the subcommittee here, was nodding vigorously when this was said, yes, it wasn't there. But now, when we advertise again, are we going to be dealing with everything, or are we going to find we slipped the point again? So I want this clearly explained to us now, so that we don't go half-hearted, let's advertise this, only to find we've got to advertise again. Honourable Williams?
Chairperson, surely we need to decide whether or not we're going to have one collecting agency or many collecting agencies before we decide whether we're going to advertise or not. It's because if we only have one collecting society per sector, I don't know how you do per, you know, per right, then there's, we wouldn't need this to be re-advertised again. If we make that decision, then it's going to push us forward, as opposed to re-advertising. We could advertise, we could go on and have all these inputs again and then decide to only have one collecting society, and then everything we would have done would have been pointless. So we need to make that decision first.
I said, we can't just wander around in a maze. Just as an interim, which may just revive the drooping spirits around me, I do have a glass of ice here. So I'm going to ask Mr. Medema just to put it over there so that everyone may take advantage of the ice that I have been able to secure. No, but they're cups, aren't they? Oh, I don't know. I seem to still have my glass. But, I mean, look. And you can see the confusion is growing here. So we come back to the point made, let's get clarity. Honourable Khadebe?
Chairperson, I think that from the presentation of the department, it was said that the international norm is to have one collecting society per right. But what is the issue here? is the definition of a collecting society, being a non-profit organization. I think that one didn't go out to the field. That one must ascertain, even if it is one, but the way it must be defined, that it must be a non-profit organization, so that they don't go and speculate with other people's money. Thank you, Chair.
Are we quite clear on that one point, that we are all agreed it must be an MPO? No, I need to get, you know, check members out here. Are you not agreed, Honourable Kachali?
I'm raising a question in my head which says, if they provide a valuable, transparent service which people subscribe to, and it's properly, it's transparent, it's regulated if necessary, and people provide a service, and they say voluntarily, if you provide this service, I will pay you this much in terms of money for your service. Whether that's a fee or a profit, I don't know. It doesn't seem to me to be a problem in my mind, unless profit's a dirty word, full stop.
No, never been dirty. It's just the tendency, I think, sometimes to put them before people. No. Obviously, we have an economy here that needs to grow. Honourable Williams.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, the name Collecting Society implies that the members are the ones that are making the money. So it's almost like a collecting co-op. Back in the day, they didn't call it co-ops, they called it the society. So all of the members become the society, and then they hire somebody to go and get the money from the whoever's played it. But it's not an independent organization, it's the collective of those performers or whatever they are. So that's what we must be careful. So the fact that we're saying non-profit is not problematic at all because of the nature of society, of this particular collecting society.
There are a couple of pointers which I would like members to consider. And that is, right, we all agree we're artists here and this is going to be our society for singing, shall we say, recording. Now, that society, from my understanding, has got a group of service officers, an administration, if you want to put it that way. It doesn't just operate in a vacuum. It has to have officers. It has to have, you know, phones, all the usual paraphernalia that an office has. Now, many NPOs do have that. So what separates that organization that says, right, this is the chairperson or the manager or whoever, and this is the salary the person will get? Because obviously they are performing a service, as I understand it, and therefore they must be paid for the performance and delivery of that service. Now, what separates that is a critical issue from somebody who says, I'm doing exactly the same thing. I have an office. This is what we need to really unpack. I have an office, I have a phone, etc., collecting the money, and I collected $100,000 for this person. What is the criteria going to be as to how that salary of the staff is paid? Do you follow? Because until you pay the staff, and until you pay your tax, you've not made any profit. I hope I'm getting this right here, just on a practical. And we then say, right, so now, you know, that 100,000 or the million we collected from five of you, we've had to utilize in this way, but we still have 500,000 out of the million over. And the five of you now will get 100,000 each. Now that to me is what would separate the NPO, non-profit, from someone who says, well, look, I do believe that I'm entitled, I've managed to do this very effectively, and I need my 10%, or whatever it is, takes that 10% and then does the distribution. To me, this is essentially what separates the two of us. Now, you know, I'm not a CA, Honourable Whip, but that's how I see it. And I look on the left here, and I know a few people are looking a bit jaundiced with no air, but is that the way we should be looking at it, and then taking a decision as to why we, the majority of the committee, would be saying, we still want an NPO. Do you follow? And others, there are other voices in the committee saying, no, not necessarily. Yes, you can have NPOs, but you can also have somebody who could make a small profit out of it. You know. So I just want us clear here. Is this correct, DDG, the way we are looking at it? And then let's take the decision further.
Chair, I will ask Ms. Hendry to come in first, but then I'll come after her. Okay.
Ms. Padiachi, isn't. Yeah.
Thank you, Chair and DDG. Okay, so I'm going to tackle a few of the questions in explaining this. So Collecting Society, CS, and CMO, Collective Management, it's the same thing. It's just interchangeable terms. So Collecting Society and a Collective Management Organization is the same thing. It's just in South Africa we use the term Collecting Society, and overseas we use CMO. So that's my confusion that I created. I apologize. The international term is Collective Management Organization. The South African term is Collecting Society. So it's the same, but it's semantics again. So I'm going to take us back again just to bring us into the zone, so to speak. So if you remember, we amended the Act in 2002 to allow for needle time. And because of that amendment, we amended the regulations. And we did have collecting societies at that point in time, but the CIPC would only regulate a collecting society for needle time, which was SAMPRA, which was accredited in 2008. SAMRA and everyone else was not regulated, and they still are not regulated. So the Act only deals with accreditation in its regulations. Now, that's an administrative process. And again, remember, you have to have 50 members or more. So you'd go to the CIPC, you'd give them, they just administer. And that's what the regulations gives them, a very administrative function, just to check the plans, etc. It's not regulation. Now, to go back to the other question of Honorable Kachalia, because of that accreditation, an individual wouldn't fall part of it, because you may not have the 50 members and all of that, so you wouldn't be part of what we're trying to achieve here. And also, I think the key objective is we're trying to regulate those also misrepresenting to the performers that they are collecting societies, when in fact they're not. So a collecting society just manages those rights. And in a perfect distribution would be they would collect the money from the user, say for example the broadcaster, they would distribute that royalties and they should have a zero balance, save for their costs to run, which the regulations have capped at 20%. So the regulations say you have up to 20% of what you collect to pay salaries, to run the organization. And what we went further in the regulations and said that they should take a percentage towards the social development aspect, such as pensions or a burial policy, etc. So they do run. The situation that we find ourselves, and everyone's seen it in the media, is that they are in excess of what they are collecting for. Now, why that's difficult? Because they're not regulated. The distribution plan does not go to the CIPC to say, this is, I've collected X amount for X artist, and the CIPC can't see or regulate that situation. Then we have investments being made in Dubai, and the money is being used, and the artist could actually be accruing more money than we know because of that non-profit or NPC. We want them to be non-profit companies, NPC in terms of the Companies Act. It is implied in the legislation that they should, and we are asking the committee, is that strong enough? Because there isn't a express provision for the CIPC to intervene on this implied, and that's why we are debating whether we bring the non-profit element in or not.
All right, now I think it's a lot clearer to all of us, isn't it, before we take a decision. Am I right? Honorable Kachalia, don't confuse me now.
just a question. Often the flip side of regulation is loophole. You know, when you create regulations, you exercise clever people's minds to look for loopholes. Now, if you have a collection society, and you say we're regulating you, and you have to have, you have to distribute everything, and then you must have a zero balance, and you can cap your costs at 20%. Say, well, let's pass a board resolution to increase our salaries. Let's okay these expenses. Let's have some extraordinary items. That's how people operate, and that's how they get round things. It's not necessarily the most honorable way of doing it, but that's what people do often. Now, if you've got to find a way that doesn't incentivize people to do that and then create a burden on the industry. The other side of the coin is also, what if somebody, you know, because you have this intention to have one regulating society, one collection society, so what if the individual who does it himself, as I say, gets somebody else to say, do it for me, and then it becomes so successful that this person says, oh, actually, I'm going to stop playing my trumpet. I'm going to do this because it's far more lucrative. And then he says, and then he flies in the face because there's somebody else doing it as a collection society. Then what? Then there are two, and somebody else has the right to do so. There are three. And then there's the question of freedom of association, which governs all of this. So it's kind of murky.
All right, one's also got to look at competition law and so on and so forth. Yes, Advocate?
Sorry, Chair, if I may just add one thing. On the one collecting society, the current decision of the committee is that there should not be a limit. And the reason the committee arrived at that decision came from the public submissions, and I quickly tried to get to grab the high points that stood out for me. There were constitutional concerns raised. Some rights like culture, language, I don't think that's affected, but the right of association is definitely affected, and the right to trade is definitely affected. Can be limited. I'm not saying that it is necessarily unconstitutional to have one collecting society. They're saying there were constitutional concerns raised. And that was not the reason why the committee decided on not having one. What I was saying, other concerns were that it could restrict existing collaboration. It could make it more expensive. In other words, if one collecting society, instead of collaborating and making it cheaper, it will be more expensive. Another concern was, and this was the one that actually pushed it through, is that radical transformation may be totally scuppered if we have one collecting society. And the committee actually said that this is something that the market must sort out. The other comment was aligned to that is that it would entrench monopoly. So in other words, your collecting societies who have a transformed, if I can call it that, board, etc., etc., might not be able to compete when the application is put forward. So I just thought to remind members of that decision that was made before on why the committee didn't want one collecting society. So I think that must just be a little bit cautious, because if we then decide to go one collecting society, I think we will have to look at the constitutional concerns. Like I say, it might be constitutional. I'm saying it isn't. I'm just saying that there are concerns. We'll have to consider that. But then these concerns, the committee will say, look, we think that the one collecting society is actually a better option. Thank you, Jane.
In the case, we're coming back now towards closure and a decision. Yes, Ms. Hadiachi.
Chair, I also just wanted to clarify something. Honourable Kachalia is quite correct, and that is the problem. The members who are the musicians should be the board of any collecting society. That is where the gap is. It is who is managing that is taking all the decisions. They are not, and that's why we need the CIPC through the registrar to come in and ensure that the members are in control of the decisions and what's happening. That is the big loophole that's happening. And then the one question we left out, the 50-50, it's not a profit situation. So what happens is the collecting society will collect all the money from the broadcaster. The split between the two owners must be 50% must go to the record label because they did all the marketing, they put it into a CD form, and 50% to the performer. That's what we mean when we say 50-50 split. We want an equal split, meaning the performer must get 50% and the others, so it's not a profit issue. I just wanted to create that clarity.
No, Ryan, I think we need to come back now to our decision, which the, yes, DDG?
Chair, ideally, collecting societies are not supposed to make profits because they are membership-based organizations. They are there to represent their members. And in the process of administering that, they do collect administration fees. There is an admin amount that members contribute that assists them to run the collecting society. So there is a need to bring clarity about that, because without it being stipulated, others will take advantage. For instance, some of the collecting societies have been known to withhold certain amounts, and then the amounts, then they grow interest, and then that's how they also make more money. So there are ways that we need to tighten the enforcement element in terms of the financial management of the collecting societies. And in terms of the one collecting society per set of rights, Chair, even CIPC wrote to the portfolio committee to request that the committee reconsiders this. And also WIPO confirmed that the model that works best is one collecting society per rights, because it protects the rights of performers. The problem now is that when you have many of them operating in the same space, you end up with litigation challenges. Your performers are not being paid their royalties. So there are all these challenges that come with them being in the same space. So we risk, Chair, that the legislation may not work effectively. It can be an open, and it may seem competitive, but then you find that in the actual implementation, it doesn't work, because now, as a person who consumes the music or whatever I'm consuming, I will need then to have to choose the different collecting societies, and then there's confusion about membership, members belonging to different collecting societies. So I think there is a need to discuss further on the one collecting society's per set of rights. I understand that it might have, there might be issues around the issue of competitiveness, but I think that globally it's a best practice.
We've certainly threshed this around a lot. We initially said we were confused, we wanted it clarified. It is now clarified, but the fact remains. What was raised by the whip, which was fully endorsed by Honourable Tierko as well, is no matter which way we go in one sense, the issue is that it would have to be advertised. So now that we all understand what it is we are advertising, I'm just looking towards yourself, Mr. Medema, as well as Ms. Sheldon, the advocate, Van der Merwe, we don't have a choice. This somehow came out in the first, when we asked for something else. My only concern, and I'm raising it sharply again, we cannot keep on advertising. And have we exhausted the issues we may need advertised? You follow? We can't go again. I suppose the question is, we can go again, we can go 20, 30 times, but we would then, it would become ludicrous, and it could become a farce. We need to reach a point and say, look, we have examined this. This would appear as we sit here. And we'll ask the advocate to have another look, the policy from DTI to have a look. Is this all we are going to advertise? Because we can't keep on going back. That I can tell you. Otherwise, say goodbye to the bill. Yes, DDG.
Chair, because right now we are currently busy looking at the views from the experts, so maybe instead of just looking at zooming only on this non-profit element, we can just maybe do a quick scan and satisfy ourselves and come back with a comprehensive feedback on this, on what could be advertised.
No, exactly. And I understood from the request made to me by staff that, the submissions didn't really confine themselves to what was requested and has led to a lot of time having to be carved out of the program to enable the members of the committee to unpack this. So that being the case, we may take a decision in principle, yes, this will be one of them. but let us wait till you have done that, which is, I think, by Thursday, is it? And on that day say, right, these are the three issues going, or one issue going for advertisement. That is how I understand us to move forward. Are we all agreed in principle? Right. So that's where we are, Mr. Medema. So it does mean looking at the staff members, the experts, and unpacking it. I do want to thank us. This is a very, very difficult piece of legislation, members. Why do you think WIPO really wiped themselves out with it? Now, and I mean it, Honourable Khadebi, I think you were there in Geneva, and they were going to finish this legislation in two more years. How many years later? We're nowhere near. So it is a complex piece of legislation. And those of us who, and I imagine it's all members of the committee, who want to protect those who did not get the protection they deserved in the past, have got to walk carefully here. All right? So what I'm going to do, members, we've reached a point, I don't know if I heard a couple of glasses outside, did I? I did hear something, yes. No, outside, yeah, tea break, outside, I don't know if the word tea break is such a good word now to have tea with friends, but there we are. There is tea outside and coffee, and may I suggest we do have a break. This room is stifling. We need to get out of this room, and it's 3 o'clock. Can we return in 15 minutes? Just get out. Go and breathe. There are two windows open there.